Good morning and welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. It is Tuesday, November 2nd, Election Day. But here at Railbird Central, we'll be recapping the Green Bay Packers win over the New York Jets this past weekend and going over some of the hot topics of the day. I hope everybody out there does hit the election polls today, though, and you are a more well-rounded person than I am. I swear I could barely tell you who's even running for office today. I know there's a Senate seat up for election in Wisconsin and the gubernatorial seat. As for the candidates, I could barely tell you. I might be able to name a few of them, and that's about it. I hope you're all more well-rounded than me. I'll probably vote anyway, although I'm not sure how much I'm helping my state or America with a probably rather uninformed vote, as Packers news usually takes precedence with me other than political news, but maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing. In the world of sports, though, how about the San Francisco Giants last night? World Series winners, congratulations go to them. I had to fight between watching Monday Night Football and the World Series last night. Great game by Tim Lincecum, beating Cliff Lee and the Rangers. So I had fun watching that last night. It's always my favorite part, just watching them celebrate at the end. No matter what sport it is. You know, I'm not even that much of a hockey fan or an NBA fan, but I'll tune in just as the final buzzers going off in those in their championship games, the Stanley Cup or whatever, just to watch them celebrate. It is amazing, but I suppose everybody's here to talk Packers, huh? Packers, big victory this past weekend, 9-0 on the road over the New York Jets. First road victory over the New York Jets in the Packers' history, and the first shutout on the road since 1991. Kind of some landmark statistics there, and a landmark victory. Maybe not landmark, might be pushing it, my little hyperbole, but big win nonetheless, and some big news going on today that we got to get to. If you go to today's Packers Daily Links, there is a link at the top of the live blog, and while I'm on the topic of the live blog, if you tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments, your tweets will get through to the show, will get through to our live blog. So please feel free to use Twitter or our widget underneath the broadcast player. And while you're on the live blog, click the link for today's Packers Daily Links, and I'll bring you to a little screen that looks like this. And our top story of the day, coming from NFL.com and Steve Weish, who also appears on the NFL Network, reporting that Al Harris and Atari Bigby will be activated. We've been kind of waiting for this for weeks. They were eligible to come off the PUP list following week 6. They started practicing. Haven't been activated for 2 weeks now, but the word is they're ready, from Steve Weish. And he says if you click the link here, it takes you to NFL.com. And there's the picture of the two of them right there. And he says, quote, fresh off their 9-0 victory over the New York Jets, the injury-plagued Green Bay Packers should be getting some needed relief, with safety Atari Bigby and cornerback Al Harris set to come off the physically unable to perform list this week. So, interesting that they will be coming off. A reporter asked head coach Mike McCarthy yesterday in his day after press conference, you know, when they have to make the decision on Harris and Bigby. And Mike McCarthy said they really don't have to do anything until the Monday after the Dallas game. And I was inclined to believe that it's not going to happen this week. I was going to think it was going to happen next week during the bye after the Dallas game, just for another week of R&R, or, you know, really not R&R, but, you know, some rehab, a little more recovery time going on, and just, you know, more time to get their bodies right. But Packer fan John asks on our live blog, who gets kicked off the 53? And that's kind of going to be one of the topics we're going to talk about in depth this morning. Please feel free to give your guesses on the live blog. Tweet them in. And also, whether these players will be back in the starting lineup. I already said it. I didn't think the Packers are going to activate Al Harrison and Tari Bigby this week. But that's the word from Steve Wyche. Steve Wyche is very well connected. Obviously, he works for the NFL Network. So, I think he has some good sources. So, maybe we should believe him. You know, I see people already, one of our guests is guessing Mike Montgomery, and I think that's the obvious choice, as if the Packers have to make room, that's what'll be happening. Mike Montgomery, I think he's definitely one, and that's with the addition of Howard Green, you know, coming through so big in the Jets game, and really bringing a big body that you need in the 3-4 defense, unlike Mike Montgomery, who's just miscast in the 3-4 and is probably better off in a 4-3 defense. Did you notice Mike Montgomery actually played on defense? I think it was in the fourth quarter of the game. I think he got one snap on defense, and it came, you know, on a third and long, or I don't know what down it was, but it was long distance. And I think the Packers, it was one of those times where they only rushed three people, and they put Mike Montgomery at nose tackle, actually. You know, obviously he's a better choice as a pass rusher than like a Howard Green, or, you know, even B.J. Raji probably. But so he did play one snap at nose tackle. And I think Mike Montgomery, you know, he was active on Sunday, and he's on the extra point and field goal defense units. Well, Packers hold the Jets to 0 points. So I think he was on the field for all of one more play on the missed field goal they have. So there you are. Mike Montgomery, two snaps this past Sunday. So, but no, I think he's gone. I think he will be one of the cuts the Packers make, if and when they activate Al Harrison, Tari Bigby. Now, your second cut is much tougher. And, you know, I said on Twitter this week before the game, or maybe it was after the game, maybe it was yesterday, that, you know, the Packers chose to activate Mike Montgomery ahead of Brandon Underwood on Sunday. And that said a lot to me, because Brandon Underwood had been playing a large role on special teams, on several special teams units, kickoff and punt return, and was he on punt? I can't remember if he was on punt or not, but, you know, he had been playing a fairly large role. And maybe the questionableness of Ryan Pickett and Cullen Jenkins really prompted the Packers to keep Mike Montgomery active this past Sunday instead of Brandon Underwood. But that really said something to me. If you're going to inactivate Brandon Underwood, who has been, you know, a fairly large contributor this season, that said something to me, and that he could be, as John Rahor guesses that he'll be cut. I didn't see it happening prior to Sunday. I didn't think they would. I think the Packers like their draft picks. I think giving up on a second-year guy sometimes is a little premature. But he does have these legal issues. Maybe. As I said also sometime last week, the Brandon Underwood investigation is now going on 5 months and seems to be going nowhere. Of course, maybe... I have no clue with that, but... I see other guesses out there. Rupert guesses Quinn Johnson, and that's possible as well. You know, just it's the same thing with Quinn Johnson as it is with Brandon Underwood. He's a second-year guy. Is it a little too premature to cut him? You know, I'm thinking even if Brandon Underwood and Quinn Johnson aren't in the plans of the Packers moving forward, at least they could try to possibly trade them this upcoming offseason and hopefully get something for them. Now, is that hope against hope? Maybe it is. I don't know if the Packers can pull off a trade for either of those guys. And if they do, I mean, you're looking at seventh rounders, things like that. Quinn Johnson he is just taking up a space. As long as John Kuhn and Corey Hall are healthy, you know, they deserve to be in there. Those guys are doing a bang-up job this year. And as people have said, that Quinn Johnson just doesn't quite fit what the Packers are doing. And we have somebody else guessing that Dyrell Briggs could be cut. And the reason I don't think he might be cut is they just got him. I mean, there's got to be a reason. You know, they put in a waiver claim for him. So, I mean, almost with everybody, you can make an argument why they shouldn't be cut. I mean, the other side of the token, you can make an argument why they should as well. But so it is really going to be tough for the Packers. And it very well could be Briggs. The Packers seem to have enough depth at outside linebacker, you know, with Matthews, Zombo, and now Walden and Robert Francois. Was kind of interesting that Eric Walden, their new acquisition there too as well, saw time in the defense ahead of Robert Francois, who's been with the Packers now for his second season. You know, Eric Walden's been there for all of less than a week, and he was playing ahead of Francois, so, you know, kind of shows you what they think of Francois, too. And maybe it's Francois that's cut. Packers Lounge, Alex comments, Walden played good, and he did. You know, in the little bit he played, he didn't play all that many snaps. I think I counted 7 or something like that. He played on third down nickel situations. But yeah, I mean, he showed some quickness, and, you know, the play of his day was when he came down the line of scrimmage and put a tackle on LaDainian Tomlinson for, you know, no gain, or maybe it was a gain of 1 or something like that. Of course, he did go unblocked, so... You know, there is that to it too, but he at least showed a little bit of burst and a little bit of quickness to get down that line of scrimmage, though, certainly. So, lots of questions about these guys, who they're going to cut, but I'd like to change the topic to now, what do you do with Al Harris and Atari Bigby once they come back? And you can feel free to tweet in your guesses there as well on the live blog, or if anybody wants to call this show this morning, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. I will be taking your phone calls if anybody wants to talk to me. So, Al Harris and Atari Bigby, what do you do with them? Here's my take. You can't displace any of the starters right now based upon how well they're doing. Tremon Williams is really playing at a Pro Bowl level, and I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's exaggeration. I love reading Pro Football Focus. If anybody is fans out there, check that site out sometime. And just last week, you know, they gave away their predictions for, you know, mid-season predictions who would be in the Pro Bowl. And admittedly, you know, it's early to be talking Pro Bowl. But it was fun to look at some of the Packers they had slated for the Pro Bowl. You know, you've got your obvious ones like Clay Matthews and who else was in there? Josh Sitton, I believe. But, you know, amazingly, Tremon Williams wasn't listed among their picks. And I think he should be. And maybe they would be swayed, too, after this weekend's performance against the Jets, in which he came up with that interception, had some pass breakups, and just playing solid all around. And, of course, all these guesses coming in here. John Rahor of Green Bay Packer Nation says Harris to nickel. A. Biederman says Al Harris should play the dime. Packer fan John, Harris to nickel. And anyhow, I mean, nobody's saying Al Harris should be a starter here on our show. And I gotta say as well, I mean, for one reason, and you know, I've been saying this since the off season. You look back at last year, and Nick Barnett last season in 2009 was coming off a knee injury, and they wanted to bring him back slowly. So what they did is they put Nick Barnett on a snap count. He started the games, and then in the fourth quarter, he would come out. You know, they just simply wouldn't put him back on the field, even if the game was close, because they just wanted to be cautious with him in that knee. And as time went on, he played more and more, and by mid-season, he was playing full games. And with Harris, I think the Packers do the same thing, and it's easy to limit his snaps if you're the nickelback, because you're not on the field every single play. You know, this past weekend against the Jets, it was split about 50-50 between nickel and how much they played the base defense. So really, I mean, Al Harris, if he was playing this past weekend, only would have been on the field 50% of the time, or you know, 30 some odd snaps, we'll say. And that seems very reasonable. So I think that's the smart way you handle him. Is he the dime back? I see some controversy about that. You know, do you relegate Al Harris to the dime because Sam Shields is playing so well? That's certainly a tough one. Packers now seemingly have just a ton of depth at cornerback. But I mean, you know, you say they should be playing the dime. The Packers have played their dime defense literally, I think, one game this year. They played the dime. Maybe they'll be encouraged to use it more now that Al Harris will be coming back and Atari Bigby. So, there's that. And then, moving on to Atari Bigby, Charlie Peppra has been a breath of fresh air, especially the past few weeks. You know, when he first replaced Morgan Burnett, you know, I think it was the, was it the Washington game, perhaps, was his first game. He looked to struggle a little, especially in pass coverage. His speed isn't the greatest, especially compared to many wide receivers in the NFL. And although, you know, I think some people were a little bit harder early on Charlie Peppera than maybe they should have, because, you know, they were playing zone defense a lot of times. And even though it looks like, you know, Charlie Peppera is the man being beat, it's sometimes it's really not. But anyway, I mean, these past 2-3 weeks, for sure, Charlie Peppera has played lights out. And, you know, I direct you back to that article by Steve Weish, because after he talks about Harrison Bigby, he goes later on to describe why the Packers were so successful against the Jets. And maybe I will just read that here briefly. If you go to our Packers Daily Links and go back to NFL.com, you scroll down, they talk about the Jets game and why the Packers did so well and how the defense did it. And Steve Weish writes, quote, "For the first time this season, the Packers stuck with a true 3-4 front in the base defense. They also dropped strong safety Charlie Peppera into the box to give them an 8-man look, with Peppera being floater of sorts to help support against the run." I'll keep going here because this is good stuff. "This was different because even though Green Bay technically played an odd defensive front for most of the season, its execution was more of a 4-2 look," the source said. "The scheme against the Jets left Williams and Woodson in a lot of man-to-man and safety Nick Collins in single high coverage." And that's very true. You know, Nick Collins was kind of left back there on his own, while Charlie Peppera played in the box, and was, Charlie Peppera was a big part of why the Packers did so well against the run. You know, literally, as important as Howard Green was. So, I don't think Atari Bigby, you can just insert him into the starting lineup. And that's a shame, because, you know, for Atari Bigby, it's really nothing to his fault, you know, other than being injured. Yeah, I suppose he's going to be relegated to special teams duty, basically. Can't imagine even Atari Bigby would be their dime person if the Packers ran the dime. It will be interesting, and you know, if I scroll up the live blog here, Working on It 24 asks if Capers has a history of using dime. And, you know, the Packers have used dime in the past. You know, notably against the Pittsburgh Steelers last season, in which they didn't fare very well. But no, that the Packers have not played dime much this year. But now, if and when Harris comes back, it will be notable to watch to see if there's an increase in how often they use that package. I've said all season long, especially, you know, it pains everybody to see three players rush the quarterback. And everybody's like, why are they rushing three? Well, we're not going to change Dom Capers' mind on that, I suppose. But when they rush three, they've been using their nickel personnel and basically taking an outside linebacker and dropping them back, you know, like a Frank Zombo dropping back into coverage when they rush three. When it's, you know, third and long, fourth and long, things like that. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why the Packers wouldn't use more dime defense in those situations. Why do you want Frank Zombo in coverage when you could have, you know, a Sam Shields back there, or now a Al Harris, you know, going forward, I'm speaking about now. I mean, you want to put six defensive backs on the field more than ever, I think, to get the starting four, Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, Nick Collins, Charlie Peppera. Now add two more. Add Al Harris and Sam Shields. Pretty formidable. Pretty formidable defensive backfield. And amazing how much they've improved from a year ago, I think. The defensive backfield's played well, but it was those. The Packers just got torched in those couple losses last year. You know, it was against the pass that they really lost those games in the playoffs against the Cardinals, the late season loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, where, you know, Kurt Warner, Ben Roethlisberger just passed all over them. You even go back to the 09 losses against the Vikings and Brett Favre passing on them. Amazing improvement since then. Be interesting to see how long the Packers can keep that up. Packer fan John writes on our live blog, "We will not be getting the Bigby from 2007 when he comes back. Stick with Peppera. He seems to be in the right place all the time." John Rahor asked, "Did anyone think Peppera would be this instrumental when he was signed? Thank goodness Ted Thompson signed him, or we'd be in trouble." No, I don't think anybody Peppera would be this good or this instrumental when he was signed. You know, he was really a free agent pickup this offseason. I wasn't even sure he would last to training camp this year, let alone make it through training camp and eventually become a starter. And that has more to do with the Packers' injury troubles than anything. But, Charlie Peppera, you know, everybody's hat goes off to you, and just keep it up. I wonder if there could be a situation in which Peppera plays more on rundowns, seeing as he is a very reliable tackler, things like that, playing in the box. And maybe playing Atari Bigby more on passing downs. I don't know. Just something in the back of my mind. Throwing it out there. Be tough to say. I see reports that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on Jim Rome today. Is that... Is that the Jim Rome radio show or the show on ESPN? Can anybody confirm what that is? Whether Aaron Rodgers is on the radio or on the TV? But it's almost 8:30 here, folks. Going to take a break. When we come back, going to talk about some other things going on in Green Bay Packer Nation, the struggles of the offense, and more about the heroes on the defense. And Alex says it's the radio show, so good. Listen for Aaron Rodgers this afternoon on Jim Rome's radio show. Anyway, folks, we'll be back here shortly. Just hang on. I'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. If you want your comments to get through to the show, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or Cheesehead TV, and your comments will get through. Or Our director today, Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge here at Cheesehead TV, is moderating. All comments will get through on the live blog if you just use the comment box as well. Feel free to join the conversation in either form you prefer. Other news in the Packerverse today, the Packers universe. The struggles of the offense, you know, we spent the whole first half of the show talking about the defense. Time to talk about the offense a little bit. Offense obviously struggled this past weekend against the Jets, and head coach Mike McCarthy, you know, just at a loss for words almost about why it's happening, you know, kind of putting some blame on himself. And I threw it on the Packers Daily Links, you know, some phrases he's been using. They're getting too technical, they're overanalyzing, and they're not fundamentally sound. And those are, you know, ways for him to, you know, talk about in without giving away X's and O's why they're struggling so much. But anyway, an article from Gary D'Amato at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you click this link that says an inconsistent offense, takes the other article over at the JS Online. And just briefly, you know, a little, if you bear with me, a quote from him. D'Amato writes, quote, "A high-powered unit that 1 year ago set a franchise record for points scored, 461. And produced a 4,000-yard passer in Aaron Rodgers, a 1,000-yard rusher in Ryan Grant, and two 1,000-yard receivers in Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, has been plagued by mistakes and inconsistency." My, how the mighty have fallen. And everybody thought the Packers' offense, yours truly included, thought the Packer offense would just be unstoppable. And of course, injuries, you know, have played their role, have played a factor in why the Packers are struggling. But, you know, that we just listed those players, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, all three of them are still with the team. You know, Ryan Grant's gone. And I suppose having Ryan Grant takes a little pressure off the passing game, but did he take that much pressure off them? Not that much. Not that much. Not to the extent that the Packers are struggling this season. And you know, Mike McCarthy was just really, you know, you can tell he's frustrated. And I know colleague here at Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler, is just really says McCarthy's handcuffing the offense, getting, you know, too cutesy, too creative. You know, I know Aaron can't stand pitches to John Kuhn and screen passes. You know, I think, and to an extent, I have to agree. I mean, there's nothing wrong with John Kuhn getting the ball now and again. But, you know, he's not a featured runner. John Kuhn should be getting the ball three times a game, probably. One of them on short yardage situations and two more times on other situations just to mix it up. Comment on the live blog. Driver hasn't been game ready for at least a couple weeks and possibly longer. So that's Finley, Grant, and Driver. That's like 75% of last year's production. And that's true. Donald Driver has been banged up, and he certainly, you know, two games in a row now, he's gone without a catch. You know, as his streak came to an end, everybody was kind of upset over that in the win over the Minnesota Vikings. Because they probably could have gotten Driver a catch in that game had they really wanted to. You know, just a pass along the line of scrimmage or something. But then they bounce back and, you know, he doesn't notch a catch in the win over the Jets either. And he didn't play much in that game, to be fair. But yeah, I mean, the Packers, you know, especially when you take away JerMichael Finley, that's a lot of production. You know, can the Packers get back to a more consistent level, to a more productive level? Rupert points out, Jennings, I think it was, should have had a long catch too. Instead, he did a 360 for some unknown reason and watched it fall to the ground. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened on that play there, Rupert. I was confused about that as well. I'm not sure if Driver was looking for it to the outside shoulder and Rodgers throwing it to the inside shoulder or something, but they probably should have completed that pass and several other passes throughout the course of the game. James Jones dropping another pass, as he's become wont to do this season. And pointing out, I see some the comparisons to the Colts here and how banged up they are by injuries. And Colts playing last night against the Houston Texans. And they're overcoming the, you know, overcoming injuries there as best they can. Not perfect, certainly. But, you know, doing okay. Speaking of last night and the Colts game and the Houston Texans game, while we've got Alex with us here, this is going to be funny. In our fantasy league, and I can actually pull up the page here, Alex. Alex and I took each other on in fantasy football this week. And the game was coming down to last night. I had a lead on Alex by about, I don't know, somewhere in the teens. But Alex had last night going for him, I think it was Reggie Wayne, if I'm correct. I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, Alex, wide receiver, had Reggie Wayne. So, you know, if Reggie Wayne had a really good night, if he had two touchdowns and a 100-plus-yard receiving game, Alex could make some ground up on me. And I had I had Kevin Walter going for the Houston Texans, who I don't think did anything last night. But here, I'll show everybody on our live broadcast. Those of you who are listening to the podcast, you know, sorry about this. When the show airs live, we get the video to go along with the audio, and it makes for a little more interactive experience here. But I think our quarterbacks were really interesting. I had, before I even looked at Alex's lineup, I had Mark Sanchez on my fantasy team. And he's not my usual starter. Matt Ryan, Falcons quarterback, is my usual starter. Well, the Falcons are, of course, on a bye week, so I got to go to my backup, which is Mark Sanchez. And, you know, of course, the Packers go and shut out the Jets, and I'm just like, oh my God. Not much of a game. Well, after the Packers game is done, and I actually go and look at Alex's lineup and how my fantasy team is doing, lo and behold, he has Aaron Rodgers as his fantasy quarterback, and who actually, in fantasy terms, performed worse than Mark Sanchez. So I win, Alex, you lose. I beat you 83-76 in fantasy football, and I just wanted to embarrass you about that a little bit in front of everybody on Railbird Central, all five of us who are watching the show. So I just thought that was funny that we both had Mark Sanchez and Aaron Rodgers as our quarterbacks, and neither of them just did anything in a 9-0 game. Although in real life, where the games count and not in fantasy football, it's good that the Packers have Aaron Rodgers and Mark Sanchez. I had actually, and that's why I picked Mark Sanchez up. I probably picked him up mid-season. I thought he was doing okay. You know, he was at least taking care of the football, not throwing many interceptions, and the Jets were winning. Well, I really got it for the first time to see an up-close look at Mark Sanchez against the Packers, and he's not much. I mean, you know, good for him that he limited the interceptions, but I mean, that's about all he must have been doing for the Jets, because he's not much. He's not very accurate. He's not making plays in the passing game for New York. So good for the Packers for having Aaron Rodgers and not Mark Sanchez. Other news, if we go back to today's Packers Daily Links, you know, not just talking about the safeties and the cornerbacks like we talked about in the first segment today, Al Harris and Atari Bigby, but Jason Wilde kind of looks at the defense of the whole as a whole and how well they're playing. And if you look at his article here, if you click on the link that says Packer Defense, it takes you to Jason's article. And I thought it was interesting when he talked about awarding game balls. He writes, quote, "On defense, McCarthy decided to award game balls to every member of the unit. 11 starters plus at least 9 substitution subs, including newcomers Howard Green and Eric Walden, and all of the defensive coaches as well, for the team's third shutout of the McCarthy era, the franchise's first road shutout since October 27, 1991, at Tampa Bay, and the NFL's first shutout this season." So it is amazing how well the Packers played this past week. They really did such a good job. And as we talked about briefly, you know, Eric Walden, Howard Green, how well they did on short notice coming in and playing for the Packers. And I just thought how well they did against the run game. And if you go on to read Wilde's article, he throws out some stats. You know, they held LaDainian Tomlinson to 54 yards on 16 carries and Sean Green to 22 on 6. And neither player having a longer run than 8 yards. Wow. The run defense, just wow. And again, that's what Charlie Pepper playing in the box. But everybody on the defense doing their part. It is interesting that, you know, last year the Packers were number one in the NFL in run defense. And this year, they're only 25 in run defense. And maybe they've turned a corner. You know, these past 2 weeks have been pretty darn good. I mean, especially against the Jets. Against the Vikings, the Packers didn't do so well. But, you know, for the most part, they bottled up. Adrian Peterson, you know, Adrian Peterson they didn't allow him to beat the Packers. So that's good. So, I mean, they're getting momentum there. But can you believe that? I never would have guessed that either. 25th in total rushing defense for the Packers. You know, something yesterday made me mad a little bit. And Alex, maybe if you can help me out. I know you're on... you can search Twitter and bring up this tweet from Pigskin Paul. And I like Pigskin Paul. But yesterday, Pigskin Paul, you know, we ask Paul Guillemette to join us during our draft coverage in the off season. You know, he goes to the All-Star games. I think he was at the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl, and he really it provides some good analysis. But Pigskin Paul tweeted me yesterday saying the Packer defense should not, you know, he's saying, like, let's not get ahead of ourselves or something like that. And I hope we can look at it here, the tweet, because it just irked me yesterday after the Packers played so well on run defense, especially, that, you know, to say let's not get ahead of ourselves just irked me a little bit, because, you know, they really, and here it is, let's curb the D enthusiasm just a bit. Jets were conservative on O and dropped 6+ balls. The D is tough and manned up, but, and that just, again, irked me a little bit, because there's no reason to curb the enthusiasm. They played fantastic. Just fantastic. The Packers play defense like that the rest of the year, like they did against the Jets. And they're going to come up big. And they're going to come up big the rest of the season and win far more games than they lose. Yeah, and there's my response to the tweet. And I like Pigskin Paul. We just disagree on this subject here. But no, everybody has reason to be happy with the performance of the defense. And it's the reason the Packers won. The reason. I mean, if the defense doesn't perform like that, the Packers lose. And yeah, I mean, you look at the Jets, he says they drop 6+ balls, but Packers drop balls as well. I mean, that's just football. Things like that are going to happen. Looking through the live blog, A. Biederman commented a couple minutes ago, Sean Green was a waste of a first-round pick on my part. Wasn't that interesting how far Sean Green has fallen? I thought he would just be a stud for the Jets this year. And granted, maybe he could be if LaDainian Tomlinson wasn't there, but how about the job LaDainian Tomlinson has done on the whole this season? You know, credit them. Illinois Pack fan, I think Dom Capers has done a great job with the Pack. Hope he is here for a long time. Yeah, Dom Capers, I mean, he's really the one who I'm sure deserves the game ball against the Jets. You know, coming up with the plan to stop the Jets. John Rahorse says, credit is due when the likes of C.J. Wilson and Howard Green hold the Jets to 119 yards and 0 points. Yeah, how about C.J. Wilson? And again, just like, you know, speaking of unsung heroes, and I see Lebowski pointing out Laurie Nichols' piece on Frank Zombo, and yeah, he's an unsung hero, but, you know, 3-4 defensive linemen don't get credit just because they're the type of people who, you know, never get tackles, let alone sacks, things like that. And you know, C.J. Wilson is just a big part in why, you know, they stopped the run of the Jets, just gobbling up blockers so Desmond Bishop and A.J. Hawk can make tackles on Tomlinson and Green and the likes of them. I thought A.J. Hawk actually maybe had the best game of his season. You know, when nobody's on him, you know, when there's no offensive lineman coming up to him, he really met, you know, Tomlinson in the hole on Sunday, which was nice to see. So that's fantastic. And as you guys are also pointing out, yeah, Frank Zombo did play very well. The undrafted rookies, Frank Zombo, Sam Shields. How about Sam Shields on that reverse to Brad Smith? You know, really turning on the afterburners for Sam Shields and tackling him along the sideline. Just great job there. And Sam Shields has been so huge for the Packers. And again, he's not getting any credit, but he is just holding whoever he's on without a catch every week. Everybody's wondering, like, when are opposing quarterbacks going to go after Sam Shields? And I'm wondering if that time still doesn't come. But, you know, kudos to Sam Shields for it not happening already. Little bit of a programming note. Make sure everybody comes back this evening for Packer Transplants at 8 p.m. Central Time. We've confirmed our guest this evening will be punter Tim Masthay. So we're excited about that. Could there have been any better timing to have Tim Masthay on the show than this evening after his big performance on Sunday night? 5 punts inside the 20 and I think it's a 41-yard, over 41-yard net punting average on Sunday. As head coach Mike McCarthy pointed out, the best punting performance he's seen in his life. So yeah, no, it's great. Tim Masthay going to be on Packer Transplants tonight. So, you know, just fantastic timing that we can talk to him after his great performance on Sunday. Yeah, I've never seen a punter contribute so much to a victory. I mean, even the best punters, I mean, you know, can have a difference in a game. But no, I've never seen a punter, you know, really so much involved in the outcome of a game. Just, you know, I think it was right after the game, McCarthy pointed out the field position edge was something like over 150 yards. You know, that's amazing. I think if you go back and look at Mike McCarthy's transcript, his post-game press conference immediately after the game. Yeah, he said it's some like 180 yards field position difference, hidden yardage. But yeah, just great. Yeah, and they pointed out just a week ago, Nagler said if he came on, the only thing he could ask is, why do you suck? But no, this is 2 games in a row now for Masthay. I mean, he did a really good job against the Dolphins, too. He was last week's Special Teams Player of the Week. I got a feeling that Tim Masthay is going to be the Special Teams Player of the Week for 2 weeks in a row now. He led the voting last week. So, no, he's trending upward. And hopefully that continues for him. He is just a rookie. And that's the good thing. I mean, I suppose you can point to, I think Jeremy Kapanos and Derek Frost were rookies too. But, and they never turned it around really. But Tim Mastey, no, just a rookie, you know, technically a first-year player. But yeah, I mean, coming on and, you know, if he continues in this direction, can really be a good punter. So that's going to do it for the show today. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today, joining us this morning. Again, make sure to come back for Packer Transplants this evening on Cheesehead TV when our homepage will be taken over by our live blog, and Tim Mastey will be on the show as our hosts Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky host Packer Transplants tonight. Thanks, Alex Talich, for directing our live blog today, and thank you all for coming and watching. We couldn't do this show without you, and we'll be podcasting the show later as well, so check it out on iTunes. Thanks, everyone, for coming today, and we will see you later.